Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the power of the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the power of the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again, may your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will continue with our letters today. Linda is mute.
Can you hear us?
Okay, we continue.
Letter number 118. My good daughter, I long so much to hear your news, and finally I got your letter. I thank the Lord for everything. The place says nothing. All we should care about is to bring with us the will of God, which is not a house made of stone, but of light, and which knows how to put to flight all evils. So, if you want to be safe, live in the divine will, and it will know how to defend you from everything and from everyone, in whatever place you are. Oh, if all knew this great divine secret, they would all remain at their place without fearing anything. My daughter, I recommend to you always remain in the divine will. It will take to heart all of our troubles. It will keep us on its paternal knees, clinging to its womb of light to be our defense, help, refuge, and the balm in our sufferings. We are doing fine here, always in the divine will, the only means if we want to be at peace and have the necessary strength in the circumstances of life. It is its ardent sighs, its anxieties, and maybe even its tears that call us to live in it. So let us make it content. I leave you in the divine volition to live in its eternal waves. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you, thank you. This is something that we can use for ourselves, and this is actually coming also resounds sacred scripture. I thank the Lord for everything. This is what St. Paul asks us also, to thank the Lord in all circumstances, to pray in all circumstances. The place is nothing, right? All we should care about is to bring with us the will of God, which is not a house made of stone, but a light, right? As I'm reading this passage today, I just remember something from Catherine of Siena in her writings. You know, that revelation is private revelation, also Catherine of Siena. But in that revelation is God the Father who speaks to Catherine of Siena. And the passage that comes to mind right now is from the dialogue, I think it's passage 51. God the Father talks to Catherine of Siena about the soul, And in there, God the Father says the following: the soul cannot live without love, but always wants to love something, because the soul is made of out of love, and by love I created her. So here, when Luisa Picaretta says that the place says nothing, all we should care about is to bring with us the will of God. And the will of God is not a house made of stone, but of light, and which knows how to put to flight all evils. Right? We know that our soul, if we could see our soul, we could see is a room, probably, or imagine a sphere, a little sphere, or however big that sphere you want to imagine, made out of pure light and pure gold. Just to put it in human terms. But in reality, it's pure light and pure love, just saturated gold and bell, excuse me, love, and embellished with pure love. This is what God the Father is saying to Catherine of Siena. I mentioned Catherine of Siena because, as you know, Catherine of Siena, she is present in the mystical marriage of Luisa Picaretta and our Lord Jesus, and the Blessed Mother is present there. And I think it is Catherine of Siena that brings the ring that our Lord Jesus places in Luisa, and so much light that we see there. So God the Father tells to Catherine of Siena that the soul cannot live without love, but always wants to love something. Here, that something that must be love is the will of God. That something that has to be love is God Himself. And the will of God is not a house made of a, made which is not a house made of stone, but of light, and which knows how to put to flight all evils. This is really something that we really have to believe and to pray about it, because it is two trials that we grow in the virtues, basically. If it is in being tested that we become stronger. And this is from sacred scripture, right there, endurance and all of this. So, Luisa Picaretta says, so if you want to be safe, live in the divine will. And it will know how to defend you from everything and from everyone. This is kind of like basically is telling us, don't be fearful, don't fear anyone. Don't be afraid of anything. You see, the message of our Lord Jesus last weekend's gospel, the Lord said to his disciples, don't be afraid of anyone. Be afraid of him who can kill the body. Excuse me, the soul. Don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body, but the soul. And we know that it is sin that kills the soul and also the enemy, but we know how to overcome him also, to conquer him through much prayer, through much prayer, through much prayer and perseverance. And if you remember even the Gospels, when the disciples, they come back and they say, well, we couldn't spell that demon. The Lord said, and they question our Lord, why? Oh, because that one, that kind requires much prayer and fasting. So actually it is very consoling to hear these words from Luisa. If you want to be safe, live in the divine will, and they will know how to defend you from everything and from everyone, and in wherever place you are. This is calling us really to live, to really trust in what we are being taught throughout the Book of Heaven, not only through this letter, but throughout the whole Book of Heaven, what our Lord Jesus is teaching Luisa Picaretta. And as we move deeper and deeper in this understanding of the divine will, we have to also trust and trust and trust more. The more we read, the more we understand, the more we love, the more we trust. That's the way that these writings basically become part of us, that they incarnate in us, that the divine will becomes one with us, and that this doctrine of living in the divine will becomes one with us, basically. But it takes time. It takes the humility and the openness to be able to read it and to accept it and to, yes, trust in the Lord. If we approach these writings with the mindset of scrutinizing every single thing to be satisfied, we are not going to get much. Because remember, everything begins by faith. And of course, faith seeks understanding. There is another thing here in this passage that God the Father says to Luisa Picaretta after he explains that the soul cannot live without love. He says, when our love is directed towards the Father and united to Jesus, right? To my truth, basically, because he calls our Lord Jesus in Catherine of Siena to my truth. So when our love is directed, right? Our human love is directed towards the Father and united with the truth, which is Jesus. We know then that even the smallest actions, our work, our joys, our suffering, sacrifices become an offering pleasing to God. We become an offering ourselves. So there is this human desire in all of us to love things, places, family, right? Because God is telling Catherine of Siena, because I, who I am love itself, created the soul. And this is this, there is this kind of thirst. Even the psalm tells us that. My soul thirsts for you like a deer, right? Seeking water, like a parched land, right? There is this the constant desire for love. Why? Because we were created by love itself. God the Father says, therefore, I told you that the driving force of the intellect is love. We know that the intellect is one of the powers of the soul. So when we say that through our acts, the soul expands, it begins first with faith, accepting this way of living, and then as our soul expands, also our intellect expands. Our love for God grows. Therefore, I told you that the driving force of the intellect is love, God the Father says to Catherine of Siena. As if love were saying, I want to love because Love is my nourishment. The driving force of the intellect is love. And love is the nourishment of the soul. And love is God, as we know. God is love, St. John tells us. And the love of God has been put into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, beginning in baptism. That's why in baptism, the soul is nourished with love, because that's the only thing that can satisfy the soul. But knowing that love is God. That's why also at the end of our life, as St. Paul tells us, of these three gifts, faith, hope, and charity, the only one that remains is love, because we need love, right? To love God. And that's why the souls in heaven, they don't experience any longing anymore, because they are filled with God Himself, which is love. The intellect is able to see everything. The soul is able to see everything as it is. God the Father says, then the intellect, steered by love, awakens and says, you wish to love, I will show you something worthy of your love. So the intellect basically tells now, right, to the soul, if you want to be awakened, to you want to love something worthy of love, I will show you love, which is God. So through our study, we come to understand God, but it begins with faith. Eventually, right, our faith seeks understanding, and eventually it is the intellect also that is able to show God. So in these teachings of Saint Catherine, love is the engine of all the spiritual life. And Luisa Picaretta is telling us here to love the divine will, wherever we are, whatever place we find ourselves, to dispose ourselves for the divine will and to just remain united with the divine will. And the divine will knows how to defend us from everything and from everyone in whatever place you are, he says. I don't know about you, but for me, these are very consoling words. And even in the world, you know, with so much chaos and confusion and everything that is going on, these are very consoling words. So we see that the gift of the divine will is really for our time. So, as Luisa Picaretta recommends this person now to remain in the divine will, we should do the same. He says, it will take to heart all of our troubles. If we keep in that paternal needs of God the Father, trusting in Him, right? We must remember that this is what we have to do, to unite ourselves to our Lord Jesus, even in the smallest actions, our work, our joys, our sufferings, our sacrifices, and everything will become pleasing to God. Because remember, we can offer everything excluding sin. That's why the need for us to have a sacramental life. And then once we do this, we will grow spiritually. The thing is that you don't see it, but you are able to experience it. You will have more peace, even in the midst of trials. You will have peace. You will have that joy because you know that you have the divine will as your defender. So, one way that we can say it, you know, ever most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I entrust myself to you. As ca I cast myself upon your light, Holy Spirit, Blessed Mother, I run before you, Mother of Refuge, right? Our Lady of Perpetual Help, we just celebrated her. So we have to have this always in mind. We have to have always in mind all of this so that the divine will can really incarnate, can be incarnated in us. So we begin to live that, but it's kind of like we have to remember all these things so that they really become part of us. And when trials come, know that this is the time to exercise ourselves to grow. Every single trial is a moment of grace to grow in virtue and for us to grow in union with the divine will, because we can use that trial to grow and to keep trusting and united with the Lord. And then those are moments of grace, because even though there are difficulties, we move forward. We remain faithful to the divine will. And in a way, God is testing us. If we encounter trials and we give up, then we are not really firm in the foundation of this knowledge and willing to live. But if we remain faithful and continue to do everything, God will help us. Okay, so I would like to invite all of you, to have this in mind, that in the divine will we are safe, and that the divine will, which is the will of God, will defend us from everything and from everyone. So let's continue with our next letter.
Letter number 119. Reverend and good mother, I thank the Lord for my poor letters did not get lost. It seems to me that the divine volition loves so much everything which can be said about its holy will, that it takes care of it and keeps it in its custody in order to bring it its life, which it wants to give us with so much love. To be possessed by the creature is its feast and the feast of all heaven, because every additional act we do, may it be even little and natural, increases in us new divine likeness, new love, new sanctity, new beauty. On the other hand, every act, may it be even a great one, which does not have the life of the divine will as foundation, takes us away from his likeness, reduces love, fades its beauty, closes heaven to all goods, and forms the sorrow of God. By living in the divine will, our destiny is secured. We will have the strength of God in our power. Everyone will respect us, fire, hail, water. Therefore, have no fear. Pluck up courage. Fear is the vile and of those who do not trust God, because in this way, they have no weapons to defend themselves, not even from the most tiny little midge. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So again, you see how beautifully Elizabeth Carrett articulates the living in the divine will, and how she expresses what she already possess in her soul, the gift of living in the divine will, and something that we have lost in the fall of Adam and Eve, and that the Lord wants us to possess. Everything is moving towards the possession of the divine will. Everything is moving towards the fulfillment of the Our Father in each one of us. And even The church is praying for this, and the church comments, I have mentioned other times, that in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 2860, 2860, when the church comments, what does it mean when we say, Thy will be done, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done? In that third petition, the Catechism tells us, so is the church who is telling us that in the third petition, we are asking our Father to unite our will to that of His Son, so as to fulfill His plan of salvation in the life of the world. Whose plan? The plan of God the Father. So that through us uniting to our Lord Jesus, to His will, God the Father will fulfill His plan of salvation in each one of us. So it is important to meditate in the and to just again to believe what the power of all the acts done in the divine will can do. As we unite ourselves in the divine will through our simple acts, every additional act we do, even if it's just a little one, and Lisa Picaretta mentions here the natural one. What are the natural acts? The simple act of blinking the eye, of sleeping, of eating. Even sneezing, coughing, all those are natural acts. Even those increase, right, the divine light in us. New love. Again, the soul who is created by love itself, which is God. And every single particle of our soul is just made out of saturated love. The soul is just embellished with love. And God wants us to be embellished with His love, with His sanctity, with His beauty. Everything that we receive from God is just saturated with so much God, we could say. God giving Himself to the creature because He doesn't give less than what He is. He wants the best for His creatures, and He is the supreme good, so He gives Himself to the creatures. In a little sips and sips and sips, because that's all we can take. And through us living in this way, then if we continue to live in this way, we strive to live in this way, then surely our destiny is secure. One of the things that we have to remember is that as long as you are in the state of grace and you begin to live in this way, God will perfect you. You don't have to wait until you have some kind of perfection because then you are never going to be able to get it. Remember, God perfects those whom He calls. He doesn't call those who are perfect. He perfects those whom He calls. We encounter this in the sacred script, in sacred scripture. When our Lord says, it is not the wealth, it is not the healthy that need the doctor, it is the sick. So He comes to perfect our humanity. And as long as we are open, as long as we are humble and teachable, to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, especially through this gift of His will operating in us. Then He will do the same with all of us as He did with Luisa Picaretta. He will bestow upon us this gift because this is what He wants the most. Ever since the moment of the fall, He had in mind to restore the restoration of the gift in the creature. He doesn't give up on us. He continues to seek each one of us through the sacraments, through the word, and now through this gift. This letter at the end, when Luisa Picaretta says, then even the nature will respect us. This is, you know, this is not what we are looking for. This is not the main objective, because now we know that the main objective is the glory of God, the coming of the kingdom, and then everything else is second. So even the blinking of your eye now has to be basically repurposed, redirected for the purpose of the coming of the divine will. To give you an example, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, she didn't have the gift of the knowledge as we know now. So everything she did was to love God, to love our Lord Jesus. Everything she did, she had the purpose to love our Lord Jesus, which is very good. But it's missing the purpose for the coming of the kingdom, which our Lord had in mind since the moment of His incarnation. Every heartbeat, with every single heartbeat in His small humanity, He was saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come." With every step, with every one of His words, every miracle He performed, He had in mind the restoration of the gift lost in the fall, the coming of the kingdom. So we just have to be aware again also that every little bit, every single act that we do increases in us new likeness, new love, new sanctity, new beauty. And with every single act that we do, basically we are saying glory and praise to you, most blessed Trinity. May your kingdom come on earth to reign in me. So basically to repurpose. Okay, let's continue with our next letter.
Letter number 120 to Frederico Abresh. Most esteemed son in the divine volition, what you say is not true. That is that the beauty, the sublimeness, the sanctity, which the divine will produces in our acts are seen and enjoyed only by God. False. If God receives, He gives. He rewards even one thought of ours, one sigh, one movement done to fulfill His will. And He says, the creature has sighed to do my will. I must pay her. And do you want to know what pay He gives us? An imperturbable peace, a strength which is such as to be able to bear anything. And if the earth surrounds us by necessity, we feel the weight and the nausea of it, and we long for heaven.
Okay, let's stop there a little bit, because this is the first time that we hear Luisa Picaretta basically correcting somebody. Federico Abresh, you know, he has many letters, as we seen. We have read many of his letters with Luisa, but this is the first time that I hear Luisa Picaretta correcting somebody. This is a good letter also. All her letters are good, but we haven't seen this before. So you see also how the divine will, can be misinterpreted. And the important thing for us is to be able to seek understanding. Because remember, that's the teaching of the church, that faith seeks understanding. Even John Paul II, St. John Paul II, now he wrote his encyclical, Fides et Ratio. Faith seeks understanding. But everything begins with faith, as we read also from the dialogue of Catherine of Siena, number 51. And then after the intellect understands the faith, then the intellect tells the faith, confirms what we believe, reaffirms, reassures, basically thanks the faith and says, oh, yes. So then it begins with faith, then goes through the intellect, and then once the intellect is able to understand, then the intellect says to faith or to the heart, yes, you must seek this love, this truth, right? And here, when Luisa Picaretta is telling him that, yes, this is false. And we see this in the book of Adam. This is how Adam was created, that it was a constant giving and receiving, giving and receiving. So every time that we give something to God, right? He gives, and he gives even double. Perhaps a good passage to support this letter is our famous Primordial Act passage, because in there it says it redoubles our acts, and one more, and every single act is like a sun, S-U-N. And it says more beautiful than the other. So when Luisa Picaretta says, what you say is not truth, that is, that the beauty, the sublimeness, the sanctity which the divine will produces in our acts are seen and enjoyed only by God. And she says, false. If God receives, He gives. And we see this in the Book of Heaven over and over, that He redoubles, because once we give, then we acquire a new capacity. One son more beautiful than the other, he says. The expansion of the soul. St. Augustine, in the past, I have talked about St. Augustine too, that he recognizes the expansion of the soul, and the way God, for him, the way God expands our soul is through having in us that desire for God, and us praying. And as we pray and pray and pray, he expands our capacity to receive. So here, when Luisa Picaretta corrects Federico Abrech, she explains basically what we know about Adam in the beginning, that he will give and God will double and double and double and double. And that was the way he was growing in the likeness of God. And this is the way we grow also, to receive that sanctity, that love, that beauty, everything that God is, he gives us. He gives all that what he is according to our capacity. And when we receive, that expands our capacity, we acquire a new capacity for God. To give you a rough example, we know that the chemical composition of water is H2O. And if I have one drop of water, I have H2O in that water, in that drop of water. If I get a bucket of water, I still have the chemical composition of H2O. Is this a matter of the container? So for a little ant, just a drop of water will be enough to quench the thirst. But let's say for a dog, that little drop of water will mean nothing because it's a different capacity, but it still is H2O, right? So maybe it's not a good example, but we receive God, everybody receives God, that saturated love in our acts. And the more we receive, the more acts we do, the more we receive. So, yes, God enjoys, right? He enjoys when he receives from the creature. He also gives. So, again, this is the first time that I hear Luisa Picaretta correcting. What you say is not true, Federico. That is, that the beauty, the sublimeness, the sanctity which the divine will produces in our acts are seen and enjoyed in our acts are seen and enjoyed only by God. No, by us. But we have to remember that we don't see the soul. But our acts expand our soul. So, in that way, we enjoy. And he also tells us that he will give us peace, joy, and the ability to understand sacred scripture. And in this case, also, the ability to understand the divine truth coming from the book of heaven. Right? So let's try to move on with the next letter.
To feel pleasures, imperfections, weaknesses is not evil. Wanting them is ugly because the Lord does not care about what we feel, but about what we want. So let's be attentive and let us not waste time with things which do not belong to the divine will.
Okay, let's stop there a little bit too. Thank you. This is also part of the teaching of the church that if you have a bad thought comes to you, it's not sinful. It's only when you embrace it and when you act on it that becomes a sin. So, to put this in the divine will, to begin living in the divine will, you don't need to understand the whole thing. You just have to make an act of the will as we do in faith. I see that after the consecration, I see bread, I see wine, but I know. I choose to believe that after the words of consecration is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. I make an act of the will. Even though my senses tell me it's a piece of bread, my eyes tell me it's a portion of wine. But I know that is the real presence. I choose to believe I make an act of the will, so I don't see that my soul is expanding. But I choose to unite myself to the divine will. So this is important to put it in practice for us as we study more and more the divine will, not to waste our time. And those things that we don't understand, just what I say is keep reading and maybe go over and over again, read the passages. When you encounter things in the Book of Heaven that you don't understand, just keep reading or just go over and over, and eventually you will see many of the things that the Lord teaches Luisa Picaretta. This is also a technique that our Lord has in the Book of Heaven, that he will tell something Luisa Picaretta, and maybe she will not understand it, but if you keep reading, you will find the answer later in another passage. So let's continue.
More so, since the Lord does not teach difficult things. What he wants is precisely the little things, because they are easier to do. And we cannot find an excuse and say, I could not do it. The little things are always around us in our hands, while the great ones come rarely. So we cannot say that sanctity is not for us. Even our own nature is formed with many little acts, the breath, the heartbeat, the motion, yet they form our life. And if we lacked even one breath, our life, we could say, is ended. So we can say if our little acts are not animated by the will of God. Therefore, let us allow everything we do to flow in the divine will, and we will feel enlivened and in possession of the life of the fiat. How happy and holy we will be. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. See, we are used to basically measure, yes, our time here on Earth in years, right? But we could say that in the spiritual life is basically in acts. The human will produces acts. And we are only able to produce acts as long as we are alive. So every single breath is important, every single heartbeat, right? So just the heartbeat pumping blood allows everything else to function, all the cells to be alive, to grow, to decay, and to keep this wonderful machine of our body, to keep functioning the way God designed for the body to function. But how wonderful that in every single movement, in the motion and everything, once we have this intention, once we make this act of the will to choose to unite ourselves to the will of our Heavenly Fathers, then we are able to just enter and to have everything animated by God's divine will. One of the things that I want to mention, and I mention over and over, but because it's important for us to remember, and especially since the writings of Luisa Picaretta, right? She is being studied. That when we say the will of God, we are talking about the will of the Blessed Trinity, of the three divine persons. And we say divine will because God is divine, His will is divine. Our human will is that human because we are creatures. So to say the will of God is to say the will of the Blessed Trinity. To say the divine will is to say the will of the Blessed Trinity. Now we identify ourselves also with the humanity of our Lord, because it is in the humanity of our Lord that the will of God, the divine will of God, is operating. And our Lord Jesus possessed that will by nature, is the teaching of the church. The hypostatic union of the two natures that happen in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, through the Book of Heaven, we come to understand how that divinity was operating in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ by nature. And now that we are called to live like Christ, to become another Christ, by uniting ourselves, by willingly and freely uniting ourselves with his will. So, in the Book of Heaven, we see that the Book of Heaven is Christological. This is what I always say, especially when we gather with priests and we talk about the gift of the divine will and we talk about Christology and all of this. We say that the Book of Heaven is Christological. Why? Because in the Book of Heaven, we see how the divinity, the divine nature, the will of God, the will of the Blessed Trinity is operating in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Book of Heaven is Christological. Till this point, we understand the divinity of Christ, and the Church has discussed all of this. But now we are entering into this studying of seeing, understanding how that divine will operated in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and how it can be operating in us now. So that what the Church tells us in the Catechism of the Catholic Church 381 can be fulfilled in us. The Church tells us that he is the first one, and that after him there will be many others, brothers and sisters. And that's us, all of us, that we may unite ourselves with him. Basically, that we become that other brother and sister in baptism, but because of the fall, and when we depart from that union, then we lose our place, basically. But to maintain that place that is given to us in baptism, this is the way, that constant union with the will of God. And you see, this is what the saints, they long for, and they always were looking for. They wanted to possess union with God in different ways. They tried many different ways, the fathers of the desert. They felt that longing, that attraction for love, that thirst for love. And they sought to satisfy that love through prayer, the ascetic life, through fasting, others through many other sacrifices. No? Saint Philip Neri, through the devotion of the Holy Spirit, through the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. John of the Cross, by depriving himself from many things, by eliminating the appetites of the soul, many different ways, but they all were looking something the same, union with God. And some of them, they advanced so much that our Lord bestowed upon them his wounds, Francis of Assisi, Philip Neri. His heart was enlarged. He felt a ball of fire entering into his heart. The Holy Spirit, he bear, I can say it, or we could say that he bears the mark of the Holy Spirit. The stigmata of the Holy Spirit, his heart enlarged so much with so much love. And we see that they all look for the same. And this is the mandate, basically, that our Lord Jesus gives us. But we have not understood this. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything be given unto you. That's why that famous passage, recall, remember, and offer. Now, from now on, we have to repurpose to set our priorities right. First, to glorify God. In that, we are fulfilling the Our Father. May the simple act of my heartbeat glorify your name, Heavenly Father, and may the simple act of my heartbeat be a constant prayer saying, Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will be done, like a magnet calling the divine will at every second, that we may become like divine magnets, hastening the kingdom to come. This is what the Blessed Mother did. That's why the Lord Jesus says that the prayers of the Blessed Mother hasten the coming of the Messiah. She hasted the coming of the Messiah that they were waiting in the Old Testament. We are not waiting that anymore because that promise has been fulfilled. We are waiting for the coming of the Messiah, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. But before the final coming, the Our Father has to be fulfilled in each one of us. But remember, God doesn't impose himself on us. He didn't impose himself. He didn't make everybody to enter into the ark. He called Noah to build the ark, but he didn't force them to enter into the ark. Right? He calls us, but he does not force us. And now, through this gift that he's given to all of us, through the writings of Elizabeth Carreta, we have to believe, study it in union with the teachings of the church. And when there is something to correct, like Luisa Picaretta is doing here with Federico Average, is to try to understand it and to move on in union with the teachings of the church. So this is a beautiful letter, and it's a unique letter in a way that we encounter Luisa Picaretta as a teacher now correcting. This is what we sometimes we need to be able to clarify things and all of that. And I haven't seen the other letters, but I hope we encounter another letter for Federico. Yes, there are more letters of Federico, so he didn't get upset and he didn't stop writing to Luisa. We will see later what they say, but I think we can leave it here tonight. Before I go, I would like to give you, I wanted to go through a passage from the Book of Heaven, but let me see. Maybe next time we can do that next time. So today we leave it there. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the grace of the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of us, be our strength, our consolation. May God our Father send his Holy Spirit upon each one of us to fill us with his grace, to heal us, to defend us. And may the power of the Holy Spirit also make us understand what we read for the praise and glory of God the Father, for the kingdom to descend upon earth, and for the salvation of all the world. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of us and remain with us forever. Amen.